भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो विल बिगिन 9.11 श्री शुक उवाच भगवान् आत्मनात्मानम् राम उत्तमकल्पकैः सर्वदेवमयं देवं ईजेथाचार्यवान्मखैः
Sukadeva Goswami said, Thereafter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, accepted an Acharya and performed sacrifices, yajñas, with opulent paraphernalia. Thus, he himself worshipped himself, for he is the Supreme Lord of all demigods.
So, Bhagavan, Atmanatmanam, Atmana, Atmanam. So, he worshipped himself by himself. So, whom does the Lord worship? So, as an ideal king, he is supposed to perform worship and then perform so many sacrifices and other exemplary things, so that the citizens in general, they will get a right example to follow. Right? So Lord Ram is playing the role of an ideal king. So he is conducting sacrifices, he is worshipping the Lord, and Rama Uttama Kalpakaihi, with very wonderful paraphernalia, opulent paraphernalia, he is doing this worship. Sarva Deva Mayam Devam. So Lord is the abode of all gods. He is the God of all gods. Ije Atha Acharyavan Makhaihi. And he is also taking guidance from Acharyas, guidance from Brahmanas. Because Lord Ram is playing the role of a Kshatriya, he would take the guidance of Brahmanas for doing so many sacrifices. So everything in Lord Ram's case is exemplary. Right? So Sarvarhana Machutejya. Prabhupada quotes this verse. Yathataror Mola Nishechanena Tripyanti Tatskanda Bhujopashakaha Pranopahara Taitindriyanam Tathaiva Sarvarhana Machutejya. So this is the important verse from which canto? Fourth canto. Prayers of Prachetas. Right? So Narada Muni. So Narada Muni. Performing yajna involves worshipping the Supreme Lord. Here the Supreme Lord worshipped the Supreme Lord. Therefore it is called Bhagavan Atmanatmanam Ije. So Prabhupada writes that there are some people who may do this ahangharopasana. Means they worship themselves, hoping that they will become gods. That's the point. But Lord is not like that. Lord himself is God and then he is worshipping himself to set an example. So all the yajñas are ultimately meant to satisfy the Lord only. Second verse. Hotre dadha disham prachim Brahmane dakshinam prabhuhu Adharyave pratichimva Uttaram samagaya saha.
Lord Ramachandra gave the entire east to the Hota priest, the entire south to the Brahma priest, the west to the Adharyu priest, and the north to the Udgata priest, the reciter of the Samaveda. In this way he donated his kingdom.
So different types of priests are involved in conducting a sacrifice and they need to be given dakshina. So Lord Ram gave his entire kingdom. He divided the kingdom into four parts and gave it to the four priests. He has nothing left.
Acharyaya dadau sesham yavati bhustadantara manyamana idam कृत्स्नम् ब्राह्मणोर्हति निष्पृहः.
Thereafter, thinking that because the Brahmanas have no material desires, they should possess the entire world, Lord Ramchandra delivered the land between the east, west, north and south to the Acharya.
So what is the significance of giving kingdom, entire kingdom to these Acharyas or Brahmanas who conducted the sacrifice? So very important principle is mentioned in this verse. Because the people who do not have desires to gratify their senses, who are not after material sense enjoyment with a lot of eagerness. So such people, when they have wealth, they will not utilize it for any wrong purposes. People who are not controlled in their senses, when they are given wealth, what will happen? They will exploit sources. The history gives so many examples. Hiranyakashipu was given so many powers, so much wealth, so much prestige and position, and he exploited. He was troubling Brahmanas, he was troubling women, he is troubling entire universe, right? He is causing fear in the demigods. Same thing happened with Kamsa, Ravana, and there are so many other demoniac people. So, people who have uncontrolled senses, when they have power, they will exploit others, right? They will take undue advantage of their powers. People who have sense control, when they are in position and power, they will utilize that power in God's service, right? So this is the very important principle to note. When even in our devotional circle also, when we are given more responsibilities and positions and posts and quote unquote upadhis, right, we need to be more careful, because along with power, along with position, comes lot of pride, right? So many people start respecting you, they will start offering dandavats and then worship you, right? And your words have certain value. So in that situation, if someone is there, and then if he is not having sense control and mind control, and if he has so many desires to enjoy for self-aggrandizement, etc., then he cannot survive in that position for a long time. He should be having a humble, menial disposition. Yes, there are 100 people below me, but actually, speaking in the right sense, all these 100 people are above me. I am not leading these 100 people, but I am serving these 100 people. So that should be the attitude of someone who is on a top position. Right? So when someone has that kind of attitude, he has no mentality of controlling or lording over or enjoying the position of being a proprietor, right, controller. If he does not have that disposition, then he can take advantage of that role and then do justice to that role. If he is just looking for power, prestige, then he will just exploit the people under him, exploit the power and money that he has, right? So here important principle is mentioned. Because Brahmanas have no material desires, they should possess the entire world. Who is qualified to possess the entire world? Who does not have the mentality of possessiveness? If you have material desires, then you will have possessiveness, right? So one who has no material desires is qualified person to possess the entire world, because he never utilizes it for his own sense gratification. Whatever he does in the mode of service. So, thinking like that, Lord Ramchandra gave all the kingdom to the Brahmanas. That's why Krishna was so happy when Yudhishthir Maharaj was enthroned in the kingdom of Hastinapur. So, Yudhishthir Maharaj is a very sense-controlled and devoted person. Nishamya Bhishmoktam Athachyutoktam. So, he was following the instructions of Bhishma and Achyuta and conducting his kingdom and taking care of citizens. Because he has that kind of attitude, so Lord Rama was happy to see him in the throne. Same thing is with Prithu Maharaj. He is a wonderful king, and also Parikshit Maharaj. So they are all great Rajarshis. because they have sense control, and as soon as the right time comes, they will retire from that post. They will empower someone who is qualified. So Nabhi was ruling entire Bharatavarsha. Then Rishabhdev was found to be very qualified, able administrator. So Nabhi gave the kingdom to Rishabhdev and then he retired. Then Rishabhdev gave the kingdom to Bharat Maharaj and then he retired. So Bharat Maharaj gave the kingdom to his descendants and then he retired. So all of them, when they are in power and position, they do it with great responsibility, not being overwhelmed by material desires. And when a rightful person is ready to take charge of the service, then they will give that service to him respectfully and empower him, and then do other service. What is their other service? More important service is doing their bhajan, hearing, chanting, performing full-time devotional service. So this should be the ideal example for us also. So how is it relevant? We don't have kingdoms, right? We don't have northwest and north south and southeast and southwest kingdom to distribute to brahmanas. How is it relevant for us? See the principle here. Who can take charge of a property or a kingdom or any arena? So one who does not have material desires, right? If he is operating based on his whimsical attitudes, then he cannot do justice to the service. When we find a right person who can take care of the service nicely, we respectfully give him that service. We don't want to hold it, right? Just to prove one's self-aggrandizement, right? So we empower the person, you do. Then we do other service, right? So then only we can scale up. Then only we can increase the service of the Lord. Otherwise, if everything one person was only holding, he is only taking decisions, he is only controlling, that could be his material desire also. And new people are not getting opportunities to render service because this fellow has taken over. As soon as you identify someone who is qualified, just give him. Then increase the service of the Lord. So that is the Vedic system.
Ityayam tadalankara vasobhyam avaseshitaham tatharajanyapidvai dehi saumangalyavaseshita.
After thus giving everything in charity to the Brahmanas, Lord Ramachandra retained only his personal garments and ornaments. And similarly, the queen, Mother Sita, was left with only her nose ring and nothing else.
Only with nose ring and nothing else. See, Lord Ram is so charitable that Mother Sita was left with her nose ring and nothing else. And he was left with personal garments. Everything he gave in charity. So that is the detachment of Rajarshis. They are not feeling insecure. And Lord Ram did not donate this kingdom with the expectation that anyways they will give me back. No problem. It's not like that. When Vishwamitra came to Dasarath Maharaj asking for some help, he said, "My dear Vishwamitra, whatever you want, you take from me. My entire kingdom is for you." He got up from his throne. He sat in a other chair and told Vishwamitra, "You sit on this throne. You sit. The kingdom is for you. I am for you. All my army, treasure, everything is at your service. You tell." Then he asked Ram, "I want." Then Dasarath Maharaj said, no, "Ram I can't give." But later Vasishtha came and said, "Okay, you can send Lord Ram." Then he had sent Lord Ram also, right? So this is the attitude of Rajarshis. They just give away everything to the Brahmanas.
Tetu Brahmana Devasya Vatsalyam Viksha Samstutam Pritah Krinnadhyastasmai Pratyap Predam Babhashire.
All the Brahmanas who were engaged in the various activities of the sacrifice were very pleased with Lord Ramachandra, who was greatly affectionate and favorable to the Brahmanas. Thus, with melted hearts, they returned all the property received from him and spoke as follows.
So all these Brahmanas are very pleased with the Lord. So another symptom of a good king is he would please the Brahmanas. Not only Brahmanas, everybody. So here we have this example of Nabhi. He pleased the Brahmanas so much that the Brahmanas conducted a sacrifice and showed Lord Narayana to Nabhi. Right, to that extent, Nabhi pleased the Brahmanas. So similarly, we see this example of Lord Ramachandra. He pleased the Brahmanas with such pleasant attitude that he has. So there should be perfect harmony between the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. We see in this example of Manu, Swayambhu Manu brings Devahuti to Kardama Muni's hermitage in the third canto. You remember? Then he offers Devahuti. Before that, when Swayambhu Manu came there, then Kardama Muni received him very nicely and then glorified Manu as protector of Varnashrama, as the chastiser of demoniac forces, as the upholder of all the Vedic principles, right? As the personification of demigods, as the representative of Supreme Lord. Like that, in various ways, Kardama Muni glorified Swayambhu Manu. Then Swayambhu Manu, in turn, he glorified Kardama Muni. He said that, my dear Kardama, I mean, apparently you are glorifying me, I am ashamed of it, I am embarrassed by it, but actually, through your glorification, I understood what are the duties of a king. Thank you for teaching me, thank you for telling me what I am supposed to be. Actually, he is already like that, but out of his humility, he is not accepting that credit, but he is saying that, hey, I will be like this, thank you for teaching me the good conduct of a king. So in that context, several purports and verses give us this principle that there is a perfect cooperation and mutual appreciation between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. They cooperate with each other, they respect each other. Brahmanas protect the Kshatriyas by giving them good counsel, and Kshatriyas protect the Brahmanas by facilitating their sacrifices and other spiritual practices, right? So like that, there is a mutual exchange and cooperation and appreciation for each other. So when Kshatriyas are in sync with the instructions of Brahmanas, then the kingdom can be ruled very wonderfully, all the citizens would be satisfied. And only when there is a proper cooperation between the top classes, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, the lower classes like Vaishyas and Shudras are inspired to cooperate. So Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are in the top level administrative system, right? So they give the counseling, they give intelligence, and these people will implement, Kshatriyas will implement. If there is no cooperation at that stage, then what inspiration does the lower classes will get? And they also start fighting with each other, right? They also start behaving against the government principles. The government has to be guided by a spiritual master, a Brahmana, proper intellectual person. Then all the Vaishyas who are taking care of the economy of the kingdom, they will act, they will do all their mercantile activities and other finance producing activities in sync with the rules set by the government, administrator, so king. Then all the Sudras will also very wonderfully cooperate. But if in the top level there is no proper administration and there is no cooperation, now there is no spiritual master only. There is no spiritual counseling only to the administrators. They do something, and these local people, they want to exploit the rules of government, and then they want to go against the rules of government, and then somehow accumulate money for themselves. Right? So the lower class people can be inspired only when the top class people have cooperation between them. So Prabhupada makes these very profound statements there. And this can be applied anywhere, in any organization also. Whether we acknowledge or not, God's system is functional. God has created varnas and ashramas. Chaturvarnam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. Whether you agree with that system or not, that is present in any society. In any society, there are some intellectual class of people who give intellectual inputs, right, knowledge. And there are some class of people who definitely would do administration, management. And there are some people who are more into financial matters, right? They do business. And there are some people who are serving the other three classes. So it may be in a perverted way, it may be in a degraded way, but the system will continuously exist. Prabhupada writes like this in a purport. Right? So Brahmanas and Kshatriyas should cooperate with each other. So this is an ideal example. So a Kshatriya should be selfless, and a Brahmana should be should not be greedy. So Kshatriya should be selfless in giving charity. He should not hold back the money. When a Brahmana comes, you take entire kingdom as charity, no problem. That should be his genuine attitude. And a Brahmana, although the entire kingdom is coming, he should not be greedy to grab it. He will accept whatever is needed for his maintenance only. In the first canto, we have seen the example of a king called Marutta. Yudhishthira Maharaj was not having proper sufficient finance to conduct his sacrifices. So Krishna suggests that there is some wealth there. Once a king called Marutta performed sacrifice, and then he gave golden plates and lot of gold as charity to Brahmanas. And Brahmanas are so satisfied with the rule of Marutta, they have no economical needs. And why this gold is needed? Only for finance. So they are not at all interested in it. They just left all that charity in dustbins only and they left. So all that golden plates and utensils used for the sacrifice and all the gold charity given to the Brahmanas is lying in dustbins there. So you can, my dear Yudhishthira Maharaj, you can send your brothers to claim that property. Any unclaimed property belongs to the king, right? So you can bring that property and then conduct sacrifices, he said. So Brahmana is satisfied. He is not greedy. He is satisfied with whatever is there for his basic maintenance. Brahmana should never have an inclination to accumulate lot of wealth, right? And Kshatriya should always be selfless, and then he should be giving charitable to the Brahmanas, very kind and respectful to the Brahmanas. So that example we can see in Ayodhya, in Ramchandra also, and all these Brahmanas also. So Brahmanical character offers no scope for possessing land and ruling citizens. They are the duties of Kshatriyas. Although Brahmanas did not refuse Ramchandra's gift, after accepting it, they returned it. So when somebody is giving a gift, you can one need not bluntly reject it. Although you may not be interested in it, just for formality's sake, you can accept it and please that person and then respectfully say, actually, I don't need it so much. Probably this can be given to someone who is more in need. So like that one can say. Otherwise, if one bluntly rejects also and then chastises, hey, what do you think? I'm not greedy. Why are you giving me this charity? Not like that. So, and Brahmanas did not refuse, but they accepted and respectfully gave it back to Ramachandra. So, Lord Ramachandra, aside from being a supreme personality of Godhead, was fully qualified as a Kshatriya and was exemplary in character. And Kshatriya is charitable. Next, we go to the sixth verse. Why they are rejecting?
Kshatriyas, whenever they give charity, they don't accept it back. Or so how we can understand this, whenever they give charity? And once it is accepted, then they may give the same to others. There is issue like this.
Correct, correct.
So how can
I
understand?
The next verse answers this. But still I'll give you a gist. So Kshatriya would accept accept back whatever he has given to the Brahmanas only upon the instruction and order of the Brahmanas. So when he accepts it back, it's not that he has given and then he has taken it back. Getting right? So I give you so and so object. No, I will not give. I'll take it back. So that is my voluntary acceptance. Right? But he has given it selflessly, and Brahmanas also requested Lord Ramachandra, please you only take it back and rule the kingdom on our behalf. So as a service he accepted it back. Getting right? So ideally when you give charity and then again take it back, it's not correct. But in what mood are you taking it back, that matters a lot. Whether an activity is a sinful activity or a pious activity depends on the mood of a person who is performing it. Now, Ramachandra accepted the kingdom back only in the mood of service. Oh, Brahmanas, they don't want this kingdom, they want me only to rule. Okay, I'll follow their injunction and then take it. Right? Sixth verse. See, in what mood they rejected or they did not accept the kingdom is seen in the sixth verse. Apramattam nastvaya kimnu. Aprattam nastvaya kimnu. Bhagavan Bhuvaneshwara. Yannontar hridayam vishya.
tamoham sisvarochisha.
O Lord, you are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given to us? You have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need a material donation.
See? Apratam nastvaya kimnu. My dear Ramachandra, what have you not given us? You have given us everything. Bhagavan Bhuvaneshwara, you are actually the king of entire universe. All the universes. Yanno antar hridayam vishya. Because you are staying in our hearts, we don't feel the need for any other external gifts or charities. The greatest charity that you can give us is by being in our hearts. So when you are in our hearts, we are totally satisfied and we don't need any other things. So tamo hamsi swarochisha, by your effulgence, swarochisha, you are completely dissipating the darkness of our hearts. So please continue to stay in our hearts only and dissipate the darkness. So we don't need these external gifts. So in that mood, they returned it back. Right? So when Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the Lord, he replied, Lord, I am fully satisfied. So I don't need any other material benedictions. Similarly, Lord Narasimhadeva also offered some benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad said, my dear Lord, I am not a businessman. In return for my service, I will not accept any material benedictions. So I don't want. So he also expressed his disinterest in any external benedictions. Same thing Brahmanas are also doing. So the disposition with which we reject is very important. So it's not in a blunt way, it's in a very devotional way. So Brahmanas are always enlightened and directed by the Lord. That's why Lord stays in their hearts. Prabhupada writes, aspiring to possess more and more for personal sense gratification is simply ignorance. And this ignorance is conspicuous by its absence from the heart of a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. So that ignorance of possessiveness is actually ignorance. So when Kunti Maharani prays that Tvam Akinchana Gocharam Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribhir Edhamana Vadah Puman Naivarhatya Bhidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. So Lord is Akinchana Gocharam. Akinchana literally means he is a materially impoverished person. But that does not mean that all poor people are great devotees and all rich people are very useless people, right? They are not devotees at all. So Akinchana literally is not having any possessions, material possessions. But a deeper meaning of Akinchana is not having the possessiveness, not possessions. You may have possessions, but you don't have possessiveness. That is the difference. Now you see in the third canto again, Swayambhu Manu, sometime back we were discussing, right? So Swayambhu Manu was ruling the kingdom, and with what attitude is he ruling the kingdom? He is filling his day with activities of Krishna consciousness. He is hearing, he is chanting, he is writing about Krishna, he is holding bhajans and other discussions about Krishna, and also solving the problems of the citizens and then taking care of the people, right? So in that mood he was ruling the kingdom, Swayambhu Manu. He had access to unlimited wealth. He has access to so much of sense enjoyment, material enjoyment. He's living in royal palaces. He's sitting on royal thrones, soft cushions, beds. He's wearing very wonderful outfits. So although he's experiencing a lot of material enjoyment, that never produced an attachment in him. So we need to understand two things. Experience is on one level, attachment is on a deeper level. We may experience hundreds of things, but we should not get attached to it. Right? So when the experience converts into attachment, then there is entanglement. If there is only experience without attachment, you can still be a devotee. So Swayambhu Manu had experience of material opulence. Parikshit Maharaj had experience of material opulence. Then Parikshit Maharaj, then Priyavrat Maharaj, then Yudhishthir Maharaj, Lord Ramachandra. So all of them had lot of experience of material opulence, but they were never attached to it. When the right time came, they just gave it up. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days, and when this news was communicated to Parikshit, he immediately said, this is the cause for my indifference towards worldly matters. So far he was involved in so many worldly activities. He was taking care of the kingdom, he's taking care of the treasury, he's fighting with opponents, and so many political responsibilities he's handling. Now when the curse came, he felt that this is the reason for me to get detached from all this. So Vidura was staying in the royal palace of Hastinapur. He was there only to give good counsel. And as soon as he came, our Yudhishthira, who is that, Duryodhan came and then checked him out. Then Vidura just felt that this is an action of Lord's internal potency. I am getting facility, I am getting an opportunity to hear from Maitreya. He just left for pilgrimage. So experience can be there, but that should not produce attachment. If attachment is produced by experience, then there is entanglement. So that happens in so many people's case. So here, aspiring to possess more and more for personal sense gratification is simply ignorance. That kind of ignorance is absent. So one should not confuse that one can live with basic material comforts, not accumulating more and more. But one should not judge people who are actually living in material opulence. Because another aspect of renunciation is, if it is immature, then it can create hard-heartedness and unnecessary judgmental mentality. Oh, I am renounced. I am living with such bare minimum necessities. Right? I have only 3 dhotis. How can he have 7 dhotis? Right? I am using only normal phone. How can he use smartphone? Right? So one may be proud of one's renunciation also. Right? So one may have facilities, but one should utilize those facilities in Krishna's service without getting attached to those facilities. As long as one has this consciousness, he can accept as many facilities as are needed for service. But one should, and with a detached mood, but one should maintain the detachment. One should stay away from so many material comforts and facilities, but one should not judge other people who may be living in the midst of all of that. Who knows? They must be living in the midst of material opulence with great detachment, only in the mood of service. Right? One should give that benefit of doubt, especially when they are devotees. Seventh verse.
Namo Brahmanya Devaya Ramaya Kunthamedhase Uttama Shloka Dhuryaya Nyasta Dandarpitanghraye.
O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have accepted the Brahmanas as your worshipable deity. Your knowledge and memory are never disturbed by anxiety. You are the chief of all famous persons within this world, and your lotus feet are worshipped by sages who are beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. O Lord Ramachandra, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto you.
Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Krishna is Brahmanya Devaya, Ram is also Brahmanya Devaya. So they are saying that, my dear Lord, you accept Brahmanas as devatas. You consider Brahmanas as worshipable entities. So that's why you are called Brahmanya Devaya. Ramaya Akuntha Medhase. So Akuntha Medhase means Lord's intelligence or knowledge or memory can never be disturbed by any anxiety. Akuntha Medhase. Right? So no calamity can disturb his medhas, his intelligence or his memory. So just because he was absorbed in some lamentation in separation from Sita, he did not forget his promise given to Sugriva. He helped him to regain his kingdom. Right? And just because he was absorbed in separation from Sita, and as soon as he met Sita, he did not lose discrimination and then immediately accept Sita. He made Sita undergo Agni Pariksha, so that people also will understand that Ram did not accept just like that Sita. So he took that responsibility to prove the chastity of Mother Sita to the entire world. Right? So like that, Lord Ram's character is filled with lot of balance and discrimination. Right? He does not get into like get too emotional, right? Get into so many emotions without by losing discrimination, right? So he was very, although he was lamented for mother Sita so much, 1 year he lamented. Seeing his separation, Lakshman was surprised, Hanumanji was surprised, and all the trees and all these plants and the entire nature also was getting shocked to see the crying of Lord Ramachandra in separation from Mother Sita. But after meeting Sita Devi, he immediately said, Sita Devi, you should undergo Agni Pariksha. He didn't say like that. He said, I cannot accept you. Then she underwent Agni Pariksha, and then she was proved to be chaste. Like that. He had perfect control over his emotions and his excitements. Right? He's a very composed character. That's why he's called Maryada Purushottam. Akuntha Medhase. Then Uttama Shloka Dhuryaya. So Uttama Shloka means one who is glorified in choicest poetry. Best shlokas are meant for glorifying him. Uttama Shloka Dhuryaya. He's the best of all those people. And Nyasta Dandarpita Anghraye. Nyasta Danda means one who is beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. So when someone does a mistake, he should be punished. But there are some people who are beyond punishment. Paramahamsas, sannyasis. So even if they do some mistake also, you should not punish them. So such exalted people will worship the Lord's lotus feet. Nyasta Danda Arpita Anghraye. Next verse. Kadachilloka jignasur gudho ratriyam alakshitaha charanvacho shrunod ramo bharyam uddishya kasyachit.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, once while Lord Ramachandra was walking at night incognito, hiding himself by a disguise to find out the people's opinion of himself, he heard a man speaking unfavorably about his wife Sita Devi.
So he heard some unfavorable talks about Sita Devi. There are different versions. So in one version it is said that Lord Ram employed some spies. So one spy named Bhadra, he came and reported to Lord Ramachandra about this washerman's incident. And now, in another version, it is said that Lord Ram himself went into disguise to find out people's opinion about his kingdom. Naham vibharmitvam dushtam asatim paraveshmagam strainohi bibhrayat sitam ramo naham bhaje punaham.
Speaking to his unchaste wife, the man said, you go to another man's house and therefore you are unchaste and polluted. I shall not maintain you anymore. A henpecked husband like Lord Ram may accept a wife like Sita, who went to another man's house, but I am not henpecked like him, and therefore I shall not accept you again.
See, this also indicates the nature of this world. Although Sita's chastity is proved, and so many people already know that Sita is very pure, and she went underwent Agni Pariksha, and Agni, fire personified, came and said, I am known to purify everything. Anything that comes in contact with me becomes pure, but I have become purified by touching Mother Sita. So she is so pure. Please accept Lord Ramachandra, he said. Although she underwent Agni Pariksha, still there are some people like this washerman who comment on Sita Devi. If that happens in the case of Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi, what to speak of us? We are not so innocent. When some people are commenting us or then are sometimes blaming us for what we have not done, we should understand that this is the nature of this world. And Lord Ram is innocent, Sita Devi is innocent, still they are receiving a lot of blame. We are not so innocent. Maybe in that case one may be innocent, but he must have done a lot of goof up in some other cases, right? Probably the reaction is coming in a different way, in a different context, through a different person, right? So one cannot claim innocence in this material world, the conditioned soul. He must have done something, and especially when he is a devotee, he should accept that actually I deserve worse treatment. I deserve more blame. I deserve more punishment. But Krishna, out of his mercy, has toned it down and gave me only a token reaction. So that is supposed to be the attitude of a person who is receiving some blame or criticism or punishment or some other mistreatment in this world. Right? But the world, the nature of the world is, even Lord Ram is not left. Maryada Purushottam is criticized to be henpecked husband here. Right? He did not accept Vedavati as his wife. And when he went to Dandakaranya and all other forests, so many sages were attracted to him and said, "You accept us. You are in a male body, I am in a male body. And I just took a vow of Ekapatni Vrata. So I cannot entertain this." So all of these sages will become gopis in their next life. And then they had Rasalila with Krishna. Right? They are like Munichari gopis, Shrutichari gopis. So many of the gopis in Vrindavan, they are attracted to Lord Ram's beauty during Ramayana. Right? You will get this reference from some other scriptures. So several gopis are attracted to Lord Ram only in their previous lives. They got opportunity when Krishna came. Right? So Lord Ram is so controlled. Surpanaka came in a beautiful form. And some other references say Surpanaka forgot to change her form also. She came just like that, thinking that I am already beautiful. I deserve to be with Lord Ram. So Surpanaka came and Lord Ram rejected. And there is a folklore in South India. Once Mandodari came to Lord Ramachandra. I'm not sure, I don't have a proper reference. I just heard here and there. But it only glorifies Lord Ram, that's why I'm sharing this. So Mandodari once came on the bank of this ocean to Lord Ramachandra. Probably to ask forgiveness or whatever, to show some mercy towards her husband. So Lord Ram noticed that some lady is coming towards Ramachandra, towards him. He noticed that he only saw the shadow. He did not see even Mandodari. Just by noticing the shadow, Lord Ram lifted his feet so that he doesn't touch the shadow of a woman. So he is so chaste in his relationship with Sita Devi that he does not even want to touch the shadow of another woman also. Right? So Mandodari felt, "Oh my God, and what is my husband? He is running behind so many women, and why, where is he?" Right? He is not touching the shadow of another woman also. So this is the ideal character of Lord Ramachandra. So such a person is criticized to be henpecked husband, who accepted a wife who stayed in someone else's house for 1 year. So he had to hear. So if Lord Ramachandra was not left, Krishna was not left out. So some people in Dwaraka, his own Dwaraka vasis are commenting on Krishna that, yeah, Krishna must have stolen this Samantaka money, no doubt. What is the proof? In his childhood he was stealing butter, right? In his childhood he was stealing buttermilk and then yogurt from other gopis' houses. Probably same habit, he must have remembered that habit and then he must have stolen. Otherwise, why would there be calamities in Dwaraka? So they were attributing calamities to Dwaraka, in Dwaraka, to Krishna's stealing of Samantaka money. They forgot, momentarily, they forgot that wherever Krishna is there, how can there be any natural calamities? Wherever Krishna's devotees are there, there are no natural calamities. What to speak of Krishna himself, personally? And also, Akrura was known to be a very pious personality. Wherever he is there, there will be no natural calamities. No, Akrura also fled. Right? So like that, in two contexts during that Samantaka Mani episode, Krishna was misunderstood. We will discuss more details in 10th canto. So once Akrura left with Samantaka Mani, and at some other time, before the marriage, this Satrajit just blamed that you have stolen my Samantaka Mani, killing my brother Prasenajit. So in two contexts, Krishna is misunderstood, in Dwaraka only. So this misunderstanding and fault finding and criticizing and blaming other people is a constant theme in material world. That's how this world is made.
Iti lokad bahu mukhad durarādhyāt asamvidaham. पत्याभीतेन सा त्यक्ता प्राप्ता प्राचेतसाश्रमम्.
Sukadeva Goswami said, men with a poor fund of knowledge and a heinous character speak nonsensically. Fearing such rascals, Lord Ramchandra abandoned his wife Sita Devi, although she was pregnant. Thus, Sita Devi went to the ashram of Valmiki Muni.
So, to this extent, Lord Ram exhibited the ideal behavior of a king. No one can imagine. Who commented? A washerman commented. Not that a great sage came and suggested Ram, Ram, I think you should not keep Sita Devi because people will comment you. If it is a great counseling or advice coming from a very superior person, then you will give some value. Now, for example, you have done some mistake or whatever. Then, if your friend gives you feedback, you may take it little lightly or maybe casually. If a junior comes and gives you feedback, you may get offended also. If someone who is senior, he will come and give, you may take it little seriously. Someone more senior, who is just 20 years old in ashram, whatever, he comes and gives feedback, you will take it more seriously. Right? Your seriousness in accepting feedback depends on the person who is giving it, is it not? But here, who gave feedback? A washerman. Washerman in the kingdom, he gave a feedback and Lord Ram took it seriously. He took it seriously to what extent? He took it seriously to the extent of banishing his own wife, Swarupa Shakti, Sita Devi. Right? The replica of his internal potency, the internal potency he has just banished. Sita Devi he banished. And in what condition he banished? When she was pregnant. See all this. Person who is commenting is so low, and he is not banishing one, he is commenting and then he is not banishing, say, one soldier in his kingdom, or he is not giving up, you know, little money. He is just banishing his own wife, right? Personal, like Sarupa Shakti. And that too when she was pregnant. So to that extent he manifested the behavior of an ideal king. That shows, that's why he is called a touchstone, who can verify all good qualities. All good qualities take shelter in Lord Ramachandra. It's not that Ram is glorified for exhibiting these good qualities. It's actually the qualities that are glorified because Lord Ram exhibited them. Right? That's what we have discussed in the fifth canto, initial chapters. He can verify all good qualities. When he exhibits certain qualities, he does it to the maximum possible extent. No one can beat him in the ideal character of a king or a son or a brother or a husband or anyone, any role that he's playing.
Give one question. Yes, in the last chapter, we see the character of Bharata, and we took multiple crucial lessons, like there may be situations where multiple people might think some wrong with us, but we have to be focused in our goal.
Correct.
We have to not think of those ideas, whether whatever they are saying. Whereas in the life of Lord Ram, we see that, you know, even a washerman commented he took such big decision. So these are two extremes, how to take decision. I mean, what lessons we take from this
see,
episode.
In Bharat Maharaj's case, what happened? How are these two extreme cases, different cases?
Like Bharat Maharaj, it was said that before the Brahma Muhurta, he used to get up. So that, and at the same time, people were chastising him, he is because of him only Lord Ram went. So all those things. But still he was focused in his sadhana. So
Bharata never clarified, but continued with his service. But Ramachandra, actually he is taking a step to erase the spot on him. But Bharata never took a step to erase that spot on him.
Bharata Maharaj said, he claimed innocence. He said, I am not involved in all this. This controversy, this conspiracy has been planned by Kaikeyi. Right? I never wanted to take your kingdom. My dear Lord Ramachandra, you come back and take your kingdom. If you want, I will accept one of us. You go and sit on the throne. He said it. Yeah, he clarified. What was the question actually? Bharata Maharaj clarified, no doubt. See, whenever somebody is blaming you unnecessarily, it's not wrong to clarify. Now, different people are in different moods. Someone may clarify just like he did. Who is that? Chitraketu. Chitraketu was misunderstood by Parvati. Right? And of course, because of his bold pointing out of Shiva's mistake, so Parvati cursed him. Then immediately Chitraketu came down and he said, "My dear mother, I never meant anything wrong. I have full respect for your husband. Right? I never want to minimize his position or disrespect him. But I just had this concern. But whatever you think is wrong in my giving this feedback to Shiva, let that be wrong only and may I be forgiven for it." He immediately clarified. But in that context, Sita, Parvati was agitated. So he went and clarified. But in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, he never went and clarified to Shamikarishi. "My dear Shamikarishi, actually I have full respect for Brahmanas, but still it's because of only some momentary outburst or some other influence or by the will of the Lord, whatever, I had to garland you with a dead snake." So he never gave that clarification because he noticed that Shamikarishi was already regretful in communicating that message to Parikshit Maharaj. So he was already embarrassed. Why should I go and say sorry and embarrass him further? That's why he didn't go and embarrass. He didn't go and clarify. So whether someone gives a clarification or doesn't give a clarification, his mood is not to cause any disturbance in the mind of other Vaishnava. Right? So some cases may seem extremely contradictory, but the mood is they're exhibiting certain Vaishnava quality, sensitivity. So that we see in these two cases. So anyways, that is about clarification part. What exactly is your question?
My question is, you know, here although Sita Devi was extremely correct and Lord Ram also knew it. And
so why he had to take this bold step?
Because this decision seems to be extreme. Completely wrong decision. Because as a leader, he was setting up an example.
Okay.
And it is mentioned also, yes, he just heard the comment of a washerman. And that
so probably you are very soft-hearted towards Mother Sita Devi and then seeing that it's a wrong decision, etc. It's good. Here the point is, Lord Ramachandra wanted to set the right example for all the future kings to follow. Now, in this particular case, Ram is correct and Sita is correct. Ram is not a henpecked husband and Sita is not an unchaste wife. Sita is perfectly chaste and that has been proved also. In spite of that, Lord Ram banished Sita Devi because however much right examples you set, right situations face, right, you take certain decisions in different situations, all this is valid and some people will definitely understand it, but there are many people who cannot understand it. And there are many people who can give misinterpretation and give different kinds of purports and then draw different kinds of meanings from it. Now, Lord Ram is mainly concerned that if I continue to be with Sita Devi in future, now today washerman commented. Most people were keeping quiet, but only washerman commented. But tomorrow more people may comment. In Treta Yuga, washerman commented. Right, when it proceeds, some other people also will comment. After some time, kings also will comment. And kings will quote an example of Ramachandra and then have lusty affairs with so many other unchaste women. Right, they may quote Lord Ramachandra. Oh, just like Sita Devi is pure, she is also pure actually. Right? So like that, they may attribute chastity to an unchaste woman and then continue to maintain relationships with them. So to avoid this future havoc, Lord Ramachandra behaved in a very exemplary way. And Sita Devi also understood it. She did not go to Mahila Mandali and then bring so many ladies and do a dharna in front of Ramachandra in Ayodhya. All that did not happen, right? So there is a perfect sync in their motivations. And for you to relish it more, in the childhood of Mother Sita Devi, this comes in Uttarakhanda. Sita Devi was attracted by two parrots, one male parrot and one female parrot. So they were making such sweet sounds, and then like Sita Devi was very, very enchanted when she was a small girl. So she picked up one parrot, the female parrot, and she said, "You be with me only, right? I will not leave you, right?" So male parrot, she told male parrot, and then, "You just go out, right? So I'll just keep this. I like this parrot so much." And she was a small girl. Then the male parrot was pleading, "My wife is pregnant, right? How can you separate both of us, right?" So then Sita Devi said, because of her childhood innocence, she said that, no, I cannot leave this parrot. So the male parrot cursed Sita Devi that because you are separating my wife when she was pregnant from me, so you will also be separated from your husband when you are pregnant. And some references say that that same parrot took birth as a washerman and commented on Sita Devi later. Right, there is a lot of background to it. And this is also a transcendental pastime. Ultimately, the separation between Sita and Lord Ramachandra, that is not a material separation. By staying away from each other, they are experiencing a greater union within their hearts. This is called spiritual vipralambarasa. This is not a material tribulation. It's a transcendental tribulation that only gives ecstasy to these two devotees, two personalities, Sita and Ram. That we have studied in the fifth canto. You remember that purport? Long purport. Fifth canto, 19th chapter. Prayers of Hanumanji to Lord Ramachandra. One purport comes, right? Elaborate purport. Explaining the significance of separation between Sita and Ram. You remember?
Last chapter also it came.
Last chapter we had. So these are the reasons. Right? It seems to be an extreme step, but it's an exemplary step, so that future kings would not quote Lord Ramachandra and do it. Okay, next. What is Bharat Maharaj thing? Is it clear? Bharat Maharaj, you were comparing something? That's all. 11th verse.
Antarvantyagate kale. यमौ सा सुषुवे सुतौ कुशोलव इति ख्यातौ तयोश्चक्रे क्रिया मुनिः.
When the time came, the pregnant mother Sita Devi gave birth to twin sons, later celebrated as Lava and Kusha. The ritualistic ceremonies for their birth were performed by Valmiki Muni.
So she gave birth in Valmiki Muni Shastram to Lava and Kusha. And another point in that regarding the previous discussion was that it was Sita Devi's desire to meet, to go to hermitages, right, when she was pregnant. So Lord Ram fulfilled that desire like that. Another point is that same washerman who commented on Ramchandra and Sita Devi, he became washerman in Mathura, and he became the Dhobiwala of Kamsa, and Krishna killed him and gave him liberation. Like that. So these are all different points. Yeah, everybody was not very happy that Sita Devi was banished. Right, they were not very happy, but they understood with what mood and with what intention Lord Ramachandra is doing this. Even Lakshman was not happy. So Lakshman was given the order to take Mother Sita. You see, you are not in favor of some decision, and you are told to execute the decision. How painful it is. Lakshman had to undergo this throughout Ramayana. He is not happy that Lord Rama is going to Vanavas. Then he was like literally trying to, you know, confront with Dasharatha Maharaj and Kaikeyi also. But Ram said, "Relax." Right? Then Lakshman said, "Okay, I will relax, but you should allow me to come." along with you to Vanavas. He accepted Vanavas. And in this case of banishing Sita, Lakshman was told, you take Sita and leave her somewhere near Valmiki ashram. Then Lakshman, on the way, he fainted also. Right? He was crying profusely. But nothing was known to Sita Devi. She was thinking that I am just going to see the hermitages. Right? Like that. People were not very happy.
So Prabhuji, at that time Lord Sri Ram did not follow the instruction of the spiritual master and the brahmanas. They must have been like telling not to banish her because he was always following.
I don't know the exact details, what discussions happened between Ram and the brahmanas. Someone knows, I don't remember reading them. I read Ramayana long back, but the post discussions between Ram and brahmanas after banishing Sita Devi, we can refer what exactly has happened.
He said he was always following the instruction of the, like, they must have stopped her, him also, like, it's
they
not
must
good.
Have stopped, means we should have a reference, if reference they, whether yeah. they have stopped.
We are speculating, yeah, but
if they had stopped, what was the response? We need to actually see the past time, what happened. I don't remember reading it. 12th verse. अंगदश्चित्रकेतुश्च लक्ष्मणस्यात्मजौ स्मृतौ तक्षः पुष्कल इत्यस्ताम् भरतस्य महीपते.
ओ महाराज परीक्षित, लॉर्ड लक्ष्मण हैड टू सन्स नेम्ड अंगद एंड चित्रकेतु, एंड लॉर्ड भरत आल्सो हैड टू सन्स नेम्ड तक्ष एंड Pushkala.
Okay, next. This dynasty. Read the next verse, translation.
Shatrughan had two sons named Subahu and Shutasena. When Lord Bharata went to conquer all direction, he had to kill many million of Gandharvas, who are generally pretenders. Taking all their wealth, he offered it to Lord Ramchandra. Shatrughan also killed a Rakshasa named Lavana, who was the son of Madhu Rakshasa. Thus he established in the great forest known as Madhuvan, the town known as Mathura.
This Shatrughna, apparently he seems to be not having much role in Ramayana. Right? He was always as an assistant to Bharata, and then he killed Lavanasura. And he went there and stayed at Madhuvan only. Why? Because if Lakshmana is very attached to Lord Ramchandra, he has to stay in Ayodhya only. And if Bharat goes and then rules the kingdom, Bharat also will be devastated in separation from Lord Ramchandra. So Shatrughna took that role of ruling Madhuvan after killing Lavanasur, only so that Bharat and Lakshman, they can get association of Ramchandra. So he did that sacrifice. And Shatrughna is always like a subservient to Bharat Maharaj. Bharata, Lord Ram's brother Bharata, and his activities are not very prominent, but one important thing we can notice in Shatrughna is he is like the servant of the servant. He never came forward to directly interact or associate with Lord Ramachandra. He is always like a servant of Bharata. So, and that has been the mood of Sumitra. So Kaikeyi gave birth to Bharata, and Kaushalya gave birth to Rama, and Sumitra gave birth to the servants of these two, Ram and Bharata. Shatrughna was the servant of Bharata, and Lakshman was servant of Ram. So like that. So Kaikeyi's mood is servitude. When Sumitra. When Sumitra came to know that Lakshman also wanted to go along with Lord Ramachandra for Vanavas, Sumitra never said, well, why are you going? Especially when, if a mother is always happy to see her two sons cooperate with each other and love each other nicely. But when a mother is not very happy to see her son cooperating so much with her stepson, or stepwife, or who's her co-wife's son. Because co-wives always have a different kind of rasa, right? So he is serving the son of my co-wife, his step-brother. So that is little too much to accept. But Sumitra never had such discrimination. Sumitra heartfelt, in a heartfelt way, she approved that Lakshman, you go and serve Lord Ramachandra, no problem. 14 years, you be in one, no problem. Your life will be perfected if you just are able to please Lord Ramachandra with your service. So she had that service attitude, and her sons also had that service attitude. Here, Lakshmana's role is like this. He is a servant of Bharat Maharaj. Next, 15th verse.
Being forsaken by her husband, Sita Devi entrusted her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni. Then, meditating upon the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, she entered into the earth.
So she entered into the earth. So that's how she ended her manifest pastimes. So 16th verse.
Tatshrutva Bhagavan Ramo Rundhan Apidhiya Shujaham Shramastasya gunam stam stan Nashaknodrodhumishvaraha.
After hearing the news of Mother Sita's entering the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was certainly aggrieved. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, upon remembering the exalted qualities of Mother Sita, he could not check his grief in transcendental love.
See, if Lord Ram has banished Sita Devi in an indifferent way, he would not have experienced so much grief like this. So it is very wonderfully described. Tat shrutva Bhagavan Ramo rundhan api dhiya shuchaha. So he was shuchaha. He was totally in grief. Smaran tasya gunan tantan. In various circumstances, Sita exhibited so many qualities, and Lord Ram remembered all those qualities. It is said that Lord Ram ruled for around 11,000 years. Out of these 11,000 years, how many years he was there with Sita? He married Sita Devi. Around 12 years old, he was like that. He married Sita Devi, and then they stayed for a little while in Ayodhya. Then they went for 14 years of Vanvas, and they came back. They stayed for a little more while. Not exactly the years, I don't know. Then he banished Sita Devi. Done. Hardly a couple of decades. Out of 11,000 years, a couple of decades is not much. So, he was in great grief. So, smaras tasya gunam stam stan. So, he was remembering the qualities of Sita Devi. What are the qualities of Sita Devi? You remembered? You memorized yesterday? Swears? Prayamnana vutya silena prashraya vanata sati bhiya hriyacha bhavagna bhartuhu sita haran manaha. Right? So these are the qualities of Sita Devi. She understood the mood of Lord Ramachandra. She had a healthy fear along with respect, and she is also very intimate. Right? In various ways she served. And Ramachandra remembered all those qualities. Na ashaknod rodhum ishvaraha. He could not check his lamentation when she left. So again Prabhupada writes here that Ramachandra's grief at the news of Sita Devi's entering the earth is not to be considered material. In the spiritual world also there are feelings of separation, but such feelings are considered spiritual bliss. Grief in separation exists even in the absolute truth, but such feelings of separation in the spiritual world are transcendentally blissful. They are tasya prema vashyata swabhava. Prema vashyata. Vashyata means coming under the control. Prema vashyata means coming under the control of beloved's love. So that is the swabhava. So that's why he is feeling grief. He was controlled by Mother Sita's love. That's why he is feeling grief. And in the material world, whenever that things happen, that is only a perverted reflection. Feelings of separation in this material world. So there is a period called infatuation period or obsession period. According to some studies of psychologists, it stays for about 6 weeks to 6 months. Right? Whenever someone sees the opposite sex, many love affairs begin like this only. Right? They see, they get infatuated, they like some attribute of the beauty of the opposite sex, either boy likes a girl or a girl likes a boy, and they get infatuated. And in that infatuation stage or obsession stage, what happens is
one's best nature would come out. Right? He would be like Tiraskrita, Vipralabdha, Shapta, Kshitta, Hatavapi, Nasyatat Pratikurvanti, Tad Bhaktaha, Prabhupi. Those qualities will come out. He will be extremely humble. He will be so tolerant. He is having so much of service attitude. He becomes so selfless. He sacrifices whatever he has. And he extends himself so much. So this is called infatuation stage. Second aspect of infatuation stage is he can never see faults in the beloved. Although the beloved person is doing so many mistakes, also he can never perceive any fault there. He thinks that these are all pastimes. So these are all wonderful activities of my beloved. Whether it's boy or girl, it happens like that. So the best nature would come out, and once energy levels will increase, sleep will decrease. Although he sleeps for less time, he has lot of strength and energy to do so many things. His enthusiasm will increase. So this is called infatuation stage. So in that stage, so many love affairs will form. And once that infatuation stage is over, then divorce also will happen so quickly. And this is the infatuation stage in which gopis were loving Krishna. And their infatuation does not stay for 6 weeks or 6 months. It will stay for the eternity. They can never find faults with Krishna. Even if they find faults also with Krishna, they blame in such a way that they just pour out their affection and love for him. Right? So this is in purest state, the soul is infatuated with love for Krishna. But that is pervert. That is reflected in a perverted way in this material world, in our relationships with others. And this infatuation can happen between two boys also and two girls also, not only between boy and girl, right? So this is also possible. So next, 17th verse, in this context this beautiful verse comes. So Prabhupada writes the last line of 16th purport in a perfect way to connect the next verse, 17th verse. Stripum prasanga etadrik sarvatratrasamavaham apishvaranam kimuta gramyasya griha chetasaham.
The attraction between man and woman, or male and female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is a cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to household life in this material world?
See how this verse is there. Stri pumsam prasanga etadrik sarvatra trasamavaha. Trasamavaha means it constantly causes fear. The association of man and woman on a material platform is the cause of fear in both parties. Pumsam striyam mithuni bhavametam tayor mithaha hridaya granthi mahuhu. So because this association between man and woman creates a strong knot in the heart, because of that knot, the conditioned soul is perpetually in a fearful situation in this material world. Right? So it happens even with great controllers also. Ishwaranam. Ishwaranam kimuta. What to speak of? Gramyasya grahachetasaha. Grahachetasaha is people who are attached to materialistic household life. So if that can happen to great people like Indra, Chandra, etc. Chandra, now we are in Sun Dynasty, right? You will come to Moon Dynasty after few chapters. So in Moon Dynasty, Chandra, the moon god, became infatuated with his spiritual master's wife, Tara. And then he kidnaps Tara. And then they had a son also, Buddha. So like that, and there was a big fight. He was not giving back also. Then Brihaspati went and complained to Brahmaji. And there was a big fight between demigods and demons. So like that, this material world is filled with this kind of infatuation. And this Indra, he went to whom? Ahalya. Ahalya is the wife of Gautama Rishi. He went in the form of Gautama Rishi. And then there was a big misunderstanding there, right? So he went in the form of Gautama Rishi, and actually Ahalya could detect that he is not my husband, he is Indra. But still she also had a desire to associate with Indra. So then Gautama Rishi came and then cursed Ahalya to become a stone, and cursed Indra to become, Indra to have so many eyes on his body, right? So these are there. In Agni, he is another great demigod. He got attracted to that son, daughter of an ocean god, Satadriti. What is her name? Prachanabhar, his wife. Who is Prachanabhar, his wife? It comes in the fourth canto, somewhere. So Satadriti, it seems. That's what I remember. So when she was circumambulating the fire got attracted to her. Right? You remember this story? Satadriti is right? Name is correct? Okay, fine. I think so. She is the daughter of ocean god. So these are the affairs in this material world. Tat srishta srishta srishteshu konva khandita dhikuman Rishim Narayanam rite yoshit mayeva mayaya. Except Narayan Rishi, no one else can control their attraction towards opposite sex. We only have to pray to the Lord so that He can protect us. Haasam hare ravanata akhila loka tivra shokashru sagara visoshanam atyudaram sammohanaya rajitam nijamaya yasya bhrumandalam manikrite makaradhajasya. So by focusing on the dancing eyebrows, bow-shaped eyebrows of Krishna, so one can protect oneself from the arrows of Cupid. So that's all we can do. So attraction between man and woman is very fearful. Because why it is fearful? It can perpetually keep one in this material world. When feelings of love and transcendental bliss from spiritual world are pervertedly reflected in material world, they are certainly the cause of bondage. In the absolute reality, there are varieties of feeling, but all of them are of the same quality of transcendental bliss. So, varieties exist in the spiritual world also, but that variety is the cause of bliss. In the material world, varieties is called a cause of bondage, right? Unless we dovetail those varieties in Krishna's service. 18th verse. Tata urdham brahmacharyam dharyan ajuhot prabhu tasyodashabdha sahasram trayodashabdha sahasram agnihotram akhanditam. 13,000 years, not 11,000. 13,000 years. Read.
After Mother Sita entered the earth, Lord Ramchandra observed complete celibacy and performed an uninterrupted Agnihotra Yajna for 13,000 years.
Smaratam Hridi Vinyasya Vidham Dandaka Kantakaihi Svapada Pallavam Rama Atma Jyotiragatataha.
After completing the sacrifice, Lord Ramchandra, whose lotus feet were sometime pierced by a thorn when he lived in Dandakaranya, placed those lotus feet in the heart of those who always think of him. Then he entered his own abode, the Vaikuntha planet beyond the Brahma Jyoti.
So this is another beautiful verse. Smaratam Hridi Vinyasya Vidham Dandaka Kantakaihi. Smarata means remembering. Then Hridi Vinyasya Vidham. So all the devotees of the Lord would place the Lord's lotus feet in their hearts. Right? So when they remembered that when Lord Ram is walking in the forests of Dandakaranya, his lotus feet might be pierced by thorns and pebbles of this forest, when they remember like that, their hearts would become perturbed. Same thing happened with Krishna also. So Krishna walks barefoot in the forests of Vrindavan when he takes all these cows and calves for grazing. Then
All the gopis would be thinking that, oh, Krishna is walking barefoot, what would happen to him? What would happen to his lotus-like feet? So he would, all the devotees would be thinking like that, gopis especially. Then, in the case of Ramachandra, he is also walking barefoot. Actually, he took slippers, but Bharat Maharaj came and took away those slippers. So these slippers should not go into Dandakaranya and all these forests. They should be sitting on the throne of Ayodhya. They should be ruling the kingdom. So I will just rule on their behalf. So Lord Ram was walking barefoot. So Lord Ram's lotus feet are so delicate that even when Sita's soft leaf-like palms also when they touch, they become red. Lord's lotus feet would become red. They cannot even bear the touch of Mother Sita's hands. And now with those lotus feet he is walking on the paths of Dandakaranya forest. We don't know whether their paths are there or not. He is just finding the path and then somehow travelling there. So the lotus feet of the Lord are always subject matter of meditation for devotees. In Dandakaranya sometimes thorns pricked his lotus feet. The devotees upon thinking this would faint. They would even faint. Lord does not feel pain or pleasure from any action or reaction in the material world. But devotees cannot tolerate even the pricking of Lord's lotus feet by a thorn. So that this tribulation of devotees' heart cannot be understood by karmis, jnanis and yogis. So now, here you can't bring in rationality. Alright, he is Lord Ram. What will happen if a thorn pricks him? So, why are you becoming so emotional? Just use some logic, Baba. Like that you can't go and do counseling to all Lord Ram's devotees. Right, nothing will happen to him. So that logic doesn't work there. Rationality doesn't work there. So our bhakti is a combination of emotion and being rational also. Right? Devotees become emotional also and rational also. But where to become rational, where to become emotional, you should have that proper discrimination. Right? So devotees who could not tolerate even thinking of the Lord's feet being pricked by a thorn were again put into tribulation by thinking of Lord's disappearance. For the Lord had to return to his abode after finishing his pastimes in the material world. So, Atma Jyoti, Brahma Jyoti is the rays of the Lord's body. Prabhupada quotes this, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti, that verse he quotes. So, Brahma Jyoti stays outside Vaikuntha planets. When Lord or devotees enter the Vaikuntha planets, they go through Brahma Jyoti. Jnanis, because of their impersonal conception, they cannot enter Vaikuntha planets, they will be stuck in Brahma Jyoti only. So, Vaikuntha planets can be understood only by a pure devotee. So, this is personalism. When the devotees are feeling that pain or they are fainting when Lord Ram's lotus feet are pricked by thorns, that indicates how personal they are. So Brahma, Bhishma, he wanted to prick the body of Krishna with arrows. That is his rasa. Right? Other devotees in Ayodhya, they are fainting, thinking that, oh, Lord Ram's lotus feet might be pricked by some thorns. But Bhishma's meditation is, I throw my arrows. So that is like worship. When you just throw flower in Pushyabhishek and Vrindavan Vihari or Gopinath. So Bhishma's worship is his Pushyabhishek, nahi, his Astrabhishek. He does Astrabhishek, right? And there are wounds on Krishna's body when he's bleeding. He'll feel happy. He's in a different rasa, Virya rasa, right? He's in a chivalrous mode. So different devotees are of different rasas. And he also accepts that worship. Krishna accepts that kind of worship. And Pandavas, when Krishna was going to Dwaraka after Hastinapur war, after Kurukshetra war, Krishna is going from Hastinapur to Dwaraka. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj arranges so many thousands of soldiers and elephants and horses, big military army. For what? For protecting Krishna on the way to Dwaraka. Because Krishna must be having so many enemies. In that same verse, Sota Goswami describes Krishna as Madhudvishaha. And he describes Yudhishthira Maharaj as Ajatashatru. Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he is traveling, nobody will bother him because he is Ajatashatru. He has no enemies. But when Krishna is traveling, people may come and attack him. So someone has to protect him. So Yudhishthira Maharaj arranges army and he also accompanies. He came to see off, but he just travels, and then he was accompanying the Lord only, not just to see him off. Then Krishna said, I think you can go back now. You came quite a long, far distance. So you can go back now, I can go to Dwaraka. So like that. So devotees are like that. You can't apply logic there. Right? All the Vrajavasis know that Krishna is holding Govardhan. But some Vrajavasis think that, oh, he needs some help. Let us take our stick and then support it. Right? They'll put like this. And they are actually thinking that they are supporting Krishna. They are helping Krishna. And Krishna also allowed them to think like that. So you can't apply logic there. If there is any presiding deity of logic, she will be surprised. Are these people are not using me at all. Like that. So, and Sita Devi worried. Sita Devi witnessed Lord Ramchandra killing 14,000 Rakshasas in just 45 minutes or 1 hour. When Surpanaka was insulted by Lakshman, her nose was cut, her ears were cut, Surpanaka went and brought Khara and Dushana and then 14,000 Rakshasas to attack Ram. Lord Ram said, Lakshman, you go and take care of Sita, right? You don't have to get involved in the fight. Then Lakshman said, no, don't worry. I can do the needful. You go and stay with Sita, you just take rest. Right, I can handle. Lakshman had the capacity to handle also. But Ram said, no, I will only fight. You have to take care of Mother Sita. Okay, that had a different background. Because Sita was once saying that, my dear Ram, you are carrying bow and arrow. Is it only decoration? Are you going to use it? I never saw you using it. Then Lord Ram just wanted to, he got a little offended and then he wanted to prove himself in front of Sita. Lakshman did not know all this. He was innocent. So he said, okay, Ram is ordering me. Maybe he has some desire to fight. So he was taking care of Sita. And Ram killed 14,000 Rakshasas within 1 hour, without a chariot also. Then Sita was impressed. Wow! Like that. And although Lord Ram killed 14,000 Rakshasas within 1 hour in front of Sita Devi, when Lord Ram went to capture that golden deer, and Sita hears some sound. Ha, Sita, ha, Lakshman. Then Lakshman, Sita Devi becomes immediately worried about Ram. Lakshman, you go. Your brother needs help. That you should go. And then she was so worried about Ram that she even doubted Lakshman. Not doubted actually. It's not that she doubted Lakshman so much. She had to say something very sensational so that Lakshman had to leave at that point. So to make Lakshman leave somehow or the other, so Sita just said like that. Not that Sita actually literally doubted Lakshman's character so much. But still, words once spoken are very sharp. And then she had to undergo whatever she had to undergo. So Lakshman went. So their logic doesn't work. You are so imbued with protecting the Lord, right? You are loving the Lord so much that although he has the capacity, but how can he cry out Sita and Lakshman for help? Right? Sita could not think in those ways because her love for Lord Ramchandra made her force Lakshman to go and protect Ram. Right? Similarly, all the devotees of Ayodhya, so they were also thinking that when Lord Ram's lotus feet is pricked with thorns, maybe he is getting troubled like that. So this worry is there. It's 12 o'clock, we'll take a break now. Hare Krishna. Text number 20.
Nedam yasho raghupate surayachnayatta Leela tanor adhikasam yavimukta dhamna Rakshovadho jaladhibandhanamastrapugaihi किं तस्य शत्रुहरणे कृपयः सहायः
तस्य शत्रुहनने सहायः लॉर्ड रामचंद्रस रेपुटेशन फॉर हैविंग किल्ड रावण विद शॉवर्स ऑफ एरोज एट द रिक्वेस्ट ऑफ द डेमीगॉड्स एंड फॉर हैविंग बिल्ट अ ब्रिज ओवर द ओशियन डज नॉट कॉन्स्टिट्यूट द फैक्चुअल ग्लोरी ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड लॉर्ड रामचंद्र हुज स्पिरिचुअल बॉडी इज ऑलवेज एंगेज्ड इन अ वेरियस पास्ट टाइम्स लॉर्ड रामचंद्र हैज नो इक्वल और सुपीरियर And therefore, he had no need to take help from the monkeys to gain victory over Ravana.
So, Ramchandra's reputation for making this bridge with stones on this ocean was not his actual reputation. But here it is said that Lord has no equal or superior, and therefore he had no need to take help from monkeys to gain victory over Ravana. So apparently, to make this bridge of Lanka, I'll just show some images of Ram making this bridge. So Lord Ram generally doesn't become angry, but very rarely he becomes angry, and one of the contexts is when ocean did not respond to Ram's request. So Lord Ram became little angry and the ocean god came and he said, "My dear Lord, I'm very sorry for not responding to your request so quickly. So now I am very happy to assist you in any way that you want me to assist. So I request you to make a bridge, although you can just cross over Lanka ocean very easily. And your devotee Hanumanji crossed over Lanka without anyone's help. He just jumped over Lanka. So you can easily cross. You don't need this, need to make any bridge. But still, if you make this bridge, I will support that. I will make sure that these stones will not drown in my waters. I will support that. But my main concern is people in the future generations will glorify you for making this bridge. So I want to see your glories propagated throughout the universe. So for that reason, please make this bridge." So Samudra requested. So devotee is always eager to see the Lord glorified by various devotees in the universe. So he is eager for broadcasting Lord's glories. That was his main purpose. So Lord Ram made this bridge. So natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samascha abhyatikascha drishyate. So the Lord has nothing to do. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spruha. He has lost all interest in doing any activity. All his energies will do the needful. For everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. The Lord has nothing to do. Natasya karanam karanam cha vidyate. Whatever he does is just a pastime. The Lord has no duty to perform to oblige anyone. And here Lord is apparently killing this Ravana, right? So here Prabhupada writes that no one can be Lord's enemy, since who could be more powerful than the Lord? When Lord wants to take pleasure in pastimes, he comes down to the material world and acts like a human being, thus showing his wonderful, glorious activities to please the devotees. So the purpose of Lord's activities is just to create a subject matter for us to discuss. Unless Lord has created this big bridge with the help of monkeys, to engage monkeys in some practical work is not a small thing. And that to make a bridge with stones, without any cement or without any columns supporting them, they are just floating and then it became a bridge. That also is very wonderful because of just the power of Lord Ram's name. And here you see a small squirrel is there. So this pastime of bridge construction shows how Lord Ram is pleased with, not with the magnitude of service, but actually with the attitude of service. So squirrel had service attitude. Hanumanji also had service attitude. Nala, Neela, Angada, Jambavan, all these people had service attitude. So Lord Ram is pleased with everybody. So some people can manage to contribute a lot in the service because of the strength given to them by the Lord only. And some people are very small like the squirrel, so they cannot contribute so much. But the point we need to make sure is, are we giving our best? Am I holding back my energies? Or am I giving myself completely to this service? That much we need to make sure. So we should not be conducive or miserly in utilizing our energies or time or resources or manpower or whatever we may have at our disposal.
So we should not be holding them back. We should give them completely in Krishna's service. And that is best. So what? We may give our complete self, but it may contribute only to one small unit in a bigger service that is orchestrated for Lord's pleasure. But it's okay. You must be contributed less only, but you have contributed your best. Whatever you have given. Someone else must be giving more. Right? And he may be filling a bigger gap. And you are filling a smaller, your contribution is very small only. But if you have given yourself completely, that Lord is pleased with him, with you. And Lord is pleased with him also. But if he is giving this much, and if he is holding back this much, percent or 20% or whatever, right? So Lord chastised this devotee also. So Hanumanji was very, he is bringing big boulders, but Sugarl is just getting some sand particles, but Lord Ram is equally pleased with both. And no one can be Lord's enemy. Another point about Ravana, so that will come little later. So these are all bridging. See, some artists, they present as if Lord Ram is carried. Nothing is there, my God. Either this or that. Either audio or video. Okay, fine, no problem. Let me focus on the text. His devotees always want to see the Lord victorious in varied activities, and therefore to please himself and them, the Lord sometimes agrees to act as human being and perform wonderful, uncommon pastimes for satisfaction of devotees. So one should taste the astonishing sweetness in the Lord's human pastimes, not his display of power. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a wonderful comment that, yeah, there is power. Different people will focus on power, the opulence of majesty of Lord's activities, and some other people will see the taste of sweetness also. So both are there. But you can relish more of Lord's activities if you find the inner tasty sweetness, right? Majesty, oh, Lord Ram built a big bridge, wow! So one will get excited. But for someone who can make millions of planets float like cotton swabs in the outer space, to make a stone float on water is not a big thing. Actually, all the material elements are coming from Lord's body only. You remember from Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu's body, all the elements came, 23 elements came, and Lord also invested in them so much power, and Lord gave them certain characteristics. So a stone is there, it cannot float on water. Who made this rule? Who made this policy? Krishna only has made this policy. Now the someone who has made the policy can edit the policy also, right? You typed it, the document, you can type it also. You need not put in review mode also and send it to someone who can accept the change or reject the change. Right? You can directly edit it and publish it directly. So Lord is like that. So he gave the property to the stone to drown in water when it is put, and he can change that property and make the stone float on the water also. So it's not a big thing. But by doing this, he will attract the attention of people in general. So people in general cannot do this. Only Lord Ram's name could do this. So understanding this, they will all glorify Lord Ram. So Samudra wanted to see the Lord Ram, see Lord Ram being glorified by so many people. That's why he told. So in this, there is an extreme wonderful display of sweetness of the Lord. There is majesty. Lord's opulence is seen. Lord's opulence of making the stones float on water is definitely seen. But there is another aspect also, Lord's sweetness. How Lord is pleased with even small contributions made by his devotees. How Lord wanted Samudra also to be satisfied. That's why he made a bridge, although he can just jump across the ocean. He could have asked Hanumanji, okay, you carry some 100 monkeys or 1000 monkeys on your shoulder, just jump, done. Just few jumps. Right? Or we will unmanifest here, we will manifest there, done. Or he can just walk on the water, right? He's Yogeshwara. All mystic siddhis are there with him. He doesn't drown, he can walk on the water. He can run on the water. Or he can swim also. Whatever he wants, he can do. But he chose only to make a bridge. Right?
Rasik Gaurav Prabhu, he had a different idea. He can call Ravana there and kill him there. Yeah, he could have done it. But Lord chose to do like this, right? So that is his speciality. Next. So Lord is sometimes described as very delicate. His feet are hurt when Mother Sita's palms touch those feet also. Lord is described on that side also. On the other side, his heroic activities are described. That he is fighting with such ferocious rakshasas. That is also described. So one need to have the we need to appreciate both aspects. The sweetness of the Lord also, greatness of the Lord also. Right? So 21st verse. It is offering obeisances to Ramachandra.
Yasyamalam rupasadashu yashodhunapi Gayantya gagnam rishayo digibhendra pattam Tamna kapala vashupala kirita jushta Padambujam raghupatim sharanam prapadye Yasyamalam drupasadashu yashodhunapi.
So this particular verse is glorifying Ram. So yasya amalam yasha. So Lord's fame is very spotless, right? So Nrupasadashu. Nrupasadashu means in the assembly of great emperors, right? We'll go to that image where now this is made with the sequence of 9th canto, 10th chapter. Now 10th chapter is over, na? So Lord Ram is the ideal king. This photo is apt for this verse. So yasyamalam nrupasadashu yashodhunapi. So Lord's spotless name and fame, which vanquishes all sinful reactions, are celebrated in all directions. Now gayanti aghagnam rishayo digibhendra pattam. Gayanti aghagnam means Lord's spotless glories are glorified by great sages also, right? So they are like the ornamental cloth of victorious elephant. Digibhendra pattam. Digibhendra pattam means elephants would wear some ornamental cloth when they are victorious. So Lord's glories are compared like that. So it's a very like a traditional way of glorifying someone, the emperors. Great saintly persons like Markandeya Rishi still glorify his characteristics in the assemblies of great emperors like Yudhishthir. Similarly, all the saintly kings and all demigods, including Shiva and Brahma, worship the Lord by bowing down their helmets. Right? Tam Nakapala, Vasupala. Nakapala is heavenly demigods. Vasupala means those who rule this Vasundhara, this earthly planet. So the kings of heavenly planet and the kings of earthly planets, they all offer their obeisances unto the Lord. Kirita Jushta Padam Bujam Raghupatim Sharanam Prapadye. So their kirita means their crowns, which they wear on their heads. They will come and offer obeisances at the lotus feet of Lord Ram here. So what is that verse? Saroja Peetham. So another verse about Krishna also comes. So all the great emperors and rulers of this world, they come and offer obeisances at the lotus feet, at the platform that is holding the lotus feet of the Lord. This is Saroja Peetham. The Peetham on which Lord's feet is kept, he is worshipable by so many people. People will come and touch there. Kirita Kotyedita Pada Peetha. Kirita Kotyedita Pada Peetha. That is the point. So I take Sharan of the Lord. This is a prayer. So, 12th verse, 22nd verse.
Sayaihi sprishto bhidrishtova Samvishto anugato piva Koshalaste yayuhsthanam Yatra gacchanti yoginaham.
Lord Ramchandra returned to his abode, to which bhakti yogis are promoted.
This is the place to which all the inhabitants of Ayodhya went after they served the Lord in His manifest pastimes by offering Him obeisances, touching His lotus feet, fully observing Him as father-like king, sitting or lying down with Him like equals, or even just accompanying Him.
So all the Ayodhyavasis, they went back to Godhead. So Prabhupada writes that devotees would go back to Godhead after leaving their bodies. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah. So Ayodhyavasis who saw Ram as citizens, served Him as servants, sat and talked with Him as friends, or were somehow or the other present during His reign, they went back to Godhead. So what happens is, when a devotee, he does his regulative practices of devotional service, he does his sadhana, then when he is mature in his devotional practices, he will be given an opportunity to participate in the prakata leela of the Lord, in the manifest pastimes of the Lord. When the Lord descends, the devotees will participate in the services of the Lord. So after being trained to serve the Lord in various capacities in His prakata leela, then they will be promoted to the spiritual world. Right? So in what capacity they would satisfy the Lord in the prakata leela, depending on their particular mood. So different devotees will associate or serve the Lord in various rasas. Same thing with Krishna also. Somebody is cultivating that Sakya mood or Dasya mood or Vatsalya mood, something like that. So they will be sent to this Bhoma Vrindavan, and they will be trained in the finer nuances of serving the Lord by the eternal residence of Lord's Goloka when they descend in this world. And after that training in this spiritual world, which is a part of this material world, then they will go to the main spiritual world there. So that's how the training happens. Probation period. One who enters the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are called Nitya Leela Pravishta. Next verse, 23rd verse. Purusho Rama Charitam Shravane Rupadharayan Anrisham Shaparo Rajan Karma Bandhair Vimuchyate. Purusho Rama Charitam Shravane Rupadharayan
Shravane Rupadharayan
Anrisham Shaparo Rajan Karma Bandhair Vimuchyate. So this is the Phalashruti of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Hearing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Purusho Ramacharitam Shravane Rupadharayan. If one hears the charita of Lord Ramachandra, how he accepted Vibhishan into his troop, how he killed Kumbhakarna, how he empowered Hanumanji to get the various mountains and boulders to protect other warriors in the army, right, or protect Lakshman. So there are so many wonderful episodes in Ramayana. If one hears all of that, Anrisham Shaparo Rajan Karma Bandhai Vimukchate, the disease of envy will be vanquished from his heart. Then karma bandhai vimuchyate means he is completely freed from the bondage of fruitive activities. So in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. So even in religious life also, sometimes if a devotee is advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. So this envy is a very innate attitude in most of the conditioned souls. Right? So such envious devotees are not completely freed from bondage of birth and death. Even in devotees also there is envy. Practicing devotees also, they exhibit envy when other devotees are advancing more. So this envy comes, actually when someone is advancing spiritually, no one becomes envious of his spiritual advancement, but one has a, what to say, wrong understanding of what exactly is spiritual advancement. He is getting more privileged positions, maybe he is getting more association of guru or the deities, or he may be on a higher level in the hierarchy of management,
or he may be getting more number of followers, or he may be handling more number of projects and services, or maybe so many people are reporting to him. So because of these external considerations, people may be carried away and then they think that this is real success. He is advancing spiritually. Because of having a wrong calculation of what is spiritual advancement and what is spiritual success, people start envying those people who are in those roles. But actual spiritual advancement means developing a genuine taste for hearing and chanting, developing a genuine service attitude. Jivera Swarupohai Krishnera Nityadas. The Jiva is a servant of Krishna. Right? So what is his natural constitutional position? To be able to serve Krishna, like Hanumanji is serving Ram. So if one's service attitude is being invoked, he is actually advancing spiritually. So because of having wrong calculation, other neophyte devotees may feel very envious of other devotees who are advancing spiritually, because they see the external aspects of this advancement more than the internal aspects. So the envy comes when you have a desire for what he has. Right? And okay, other way also it could, the seeing the actual exhibition of qualities of humility. When someone is so humble, it's a very wonderful Vaishnava quality. Looking at a humble Vaishnava, no one will become envious generally. At least most people will not become envious seeing a person who is very humble, who is just rendering menial services. The envy is there when someone else has what you want. And generally what people want? The external positions and prestige and facilities, followers, right, money, right? So these are the external things. One who enters the transcendental pastime, oh, next one. As long as one is not completely freed from cause of birth and death, one cannot enter the Sanatana Dham or eternal pastimes of the Lord. Prabhupada also writes, what is the cause of this envy? That is bodily conception. Just now we discussed it. One becomes envious because of being influenced by the designations of the body. See, this is the point I was saying. But the liberated devotee has nothing to do with the body, and therefore he is completely on the transcendental platform. On a spiritual platform, there is no envy. Envy is there only on material platform. One is attracted or gives more importance to one's external attributes and then becomes envious of him. Oh, he is having this facility, I don't have this facility. He is having these many followers, I don't have those many followers. So because of that, a devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy. But because the devotee knows that the Lord is his supreme protector, he thinks, what harm can the so-called enemy do? So Yudhishthira Maharaj was never envious of Duryodhan. There is no envy from the Yudhishthira Maharaj side. Although apparently Duryodhan is the enemy of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is fighting against Duryodhan. Yudhishthira is fighting against Duryodhan, definitely. You can say they are opposite parties. But still, there is no envy in the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he is a pure devotee. So devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy. What to speak of other devotees, co-sadhakas. So there should not be envy. Because the devotee knows that the Lord is the supreme protector, what can the so-called enemy do? Thus the devotee is confident about his protection. Yethamam prapadyante tam sadaiva bhajamyaham. A devotee must therefore be completely free from envy, especially of other devotees. To envy other devotees is the greatest offense, Vaishnava aparad. A devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting is certainly freed from envy and thus become eligible to go back to Godhead. A simple solution is given here. Hear about Lord Ram's pastimes. Hear Krishna's pastimes. Then you can be freed from envy. Purusho Ramacharitam Sravanan Upadharayan Anrishamsa Parorajan Karmabandhair Vimuchyati. So Purusho Ramacharitam. Hear about Lord Ramachandra to overcome envy. So, and the more non-envious we are, the more we are freed from envy, the more we will be able to relish that Krishna Katha, the more we will be able to assimilate what we have heard. So that non-enviousness is a quality for understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. And Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Avalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekamalamalam Jnanam Param Giyate. Paramahamsyam. Only great Paramahamsas who are devoid of envy can understand this literature. So we need to cultivate that non-enviousness to be able to actually access the wealth of Srimad Bhagavatam. One may read, one may memorize, but how much is going in depends on how much is he freed from envy. Right.
Shri Rajovacha Katham sa Bhagavan Ramo Bhratrun va Swayamatmanaham Tasmin vaten va Vartanta Prajaha Paurascha Ishvare.
Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukdev Goswami, how did the Lord conducted himself and how did he behave in relationship with his brothers who were expansion of his own self, and how did he, his brothers and the inhabitants of Ayodhya treat him?
So here Parikshit is asking a doubt. I will just show the pictures later. We'll just focus on the text now. So katham sa Bhagavan Ramo Bhratrun sa va Swayam Atmanaha. So Parikshit is asking at the end that how did the Lord conduct himself? How did he behave in relationship with his brothers? These are certain questions. Now Sukadeva Goswami is explaining further.
Sri Badarayani Ruvacha Athadishad Digvijaye Bhratrum Sthribhuvaneshwaraham Atmanam Darshayan Svanam Urim Aikshatasanuga.
Shukdev Goswami replied, after accepting the throne of the government by the fervent request of his younger brother Bharat, Lord Ramchandra ordered his younger brothers to go out and conquer the entire world, while he personally remained in the capital to give audience to all the citizens and residents of the palace and supervise the governmental affair with his other assistants.
So when Parikshit asked how did Lord Ram conduct himself as a king, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that what is brother's conduct? Ram ordered brothers to conquer the entire world. See, they gave up his personal association and followed his order. So Lord Ramchandra behaved in different ways with different associates as per their mood and their position. When he was dealing with his brothers, he ordered them, you go out and then conquer the different directions and expand our kingdom. That's what a Kshatriya does. And when he is dealing with his citizens, he was very kind and affectionate. He kept the citizens in his association only. Right? So this can be compared to Kanishta Adhikari and Madhyama Adhikari. So a Kanishta cannot go out and preach, because his shastric understanding is very poor and his dealings with other people is not very respectful many times, but he can worship the deities nicely. Right? And he also has some shastric understanding, but not in a way to connect people. So Kanishta is kept, right, closely in the association of a Lord. But Madhyama, who can go outside also and conquer, and conquer means basically preach and connect people to Krishna consciousness. So such people are sent outside. So same thing Lord did with brothers. Brothers can be compared to Madhyama, and citizens can be compared to Kanishta, like that. So Lord Ram personally remained in the capital to give audience to all citizens and palace residents and supervise the governmental affairs with his other assistants. And you can also say Bhajanandi and Goshtyanandi. Some people take pleasure in just doing bhajan and sitting at one place. Some other devotees take pleasure in connecting more and more people. Like that. Both are sincere devotees. Now, how did Lord Ram's brothers go and stay outside the association of Lord Ram. So here an important principle can be observed. Service is more important than physical proximity. So some disciples of Guru may get an opportunity to render service to Guru, staying in his close association. And some other disciples may not be able to stay so close to the Guru, they may be serving the Guru only in a different location. And some disciples may be staying at the same location as the Guru stays, but some are interacting more closely with the Guru, some are staying little away. There is Salokya Mukti, Samipya Mukti, Sarishti Mukti, then Sayujya Mukti, and what is the other one? Samipya, Sarupya, Salokya, Sarishti, Sayujya. Okay, these are the five. Out of this you can see, Samipya Mukti means staying so close to the Lord. Salokya Mukti is staying in the same planet as the Lord. If you are staying in the same planet as the Lord, that doesn't mean you are staying so close to the Lord. We are in India, and the President of India is also in India. But you are in Galtare, he is in whatever, Delhi or somewhere. Right? So there is a difference. But Samipya means you are staying along with the President of India in India, staying next to him. If he is in Delhi, you are also in Delhi. Like that, that is Samipya Mukti. So different disciples of a Guru will get different services through which one may stay close to the Guru or stay in the same location as the Guru stays, but they don't have much interaction with Guru. And some people stay at a different location only. Right? So all this will happen. But what is more important is aligning one's activities and consciousness as per the instructions of Guru and remembering Guru, serving Guru is more important than physical proximity. That is why Salokya Sarishti Samipya Ekatvam Apyuta Diyamanam Nagrahananti Vina Matsevanam Janaha. Devotees are not interested to accept even liberation also. Forget about impersonal liberation. They will not accept even personal liberations also if there is no opportunity to render service. So rendering service is more important than being so close to the Lord or Guru or to the deities or anything. So that is more important. So diyamanam nagrahanam. Then the devotees do not reject liberation out of arrogance. They reject liberation out of humility. How can I stay so close to the Lord if I don't have a service? How can I stay in the same planet as the Lord if I don't have any service? How can I enjoy the same opulences as the Lord if I don't have service? How can I have the same form as the Lord with the same symbolic representations if I don't have an opportunity to render service? If I have service, then I will accept all these facilities. So I am not looking forward for facilities, I am looking for service. That is the attitude of a devotee. In that mood, he will not accept the liberation. So here, all the brothers of Lord Ram were sent out. You go out and then start conquering directions and then expand our kingdom, take care of the citizens at different places. I am here taking care of citizens here, but someone else should be there. My representative should go there and then take care. If my representative always wants to stay with me, how can he represent myself? You are always staying with your master only. When will you represent him? Represent means you have to go somewhere else and then on his behalf you do something there. You are always taking. When will you give to others? So that's the point. So Lord does not allow any of his devotees or assistants to be engaged in sense gratification. And someone who is giving up this responsibility of service and becoming more inclined to just stay close to the Lord only, that is considered sense gratification for him. Lord does not allow sense gratification. Lord Ram's brothers were at home enjoying personal presence of Lord, but he ordered them to go out and achieve victory all over the world. So Ram showed his favor to his brothers by ordering them to go out. So order to leave association also can be favor of the Lord. So my favor to you is go out from here. You can't stay here. You stay there and do service there. That is my favor to you. I am favoring you like that. So many of the devotees residing in Vrindavan have taken a vow not to leave Vrindavan.
to preach Krishna consciousness. But the Lord Chaitanya's order is that one should go out and preach and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prithivityacha yata nagaradigram. So pure devotee must execute the order of the Lord and must not gratify his senses by remaining stagnant at one place. Falsely proud, thinking that because he does not leave Vrindavan but chants in a solitary place, he has become a great devotee. Oh, I am always staying so close to the Lord, I must be a great devotee. I am getting regular association of Guru Maharaj, so I am a great devotee. And these people, they rarely see. Sometimes once in a year they will come for some Sunday feast program or some yatra and meet the Guru for just 2 days or 3 days and then they will go. They are not very great devotees. I am staying so close, I am very great devotee. One may think like that, right? So Prabhupada here says that that doesn't make you great, right? One who is taking so much responsibility to render service to the Guru is very dear to the Guru. One who may stay close, he can also become dear to the Guru, but if that service needs staying so close, whatever is the need for the service we do, some services demand personal presence, right, along with the Guru, and some services you need to stay away from the Guru and then do. Same thing here also. Now the biggest mission of the Lord in this material world is to reclaim the conditioned souls, right? Whoever is assisting the Lord in reclaiming the conditioned souls is very dear to the Lord. And where does he stay? Does he stay close to the Lord, etc.? That's a additional detail. However, one should also take some personal nourishment by once in a while at least coming close to the Guru and then taking some guidance and hearing from him directly, all that. Okay, I should stay away. I will only hear lecture on FM. I will never sit in the temple hall and hear the class. Physical proximity is not the main thing. When you have an opportunity to take personal association, and if that is not compromising your service, you can always personally attend the class or just serve like that. So that should be there. One should not get into extremes. So whether in union or separation, our only concern is service. Right, that's the point. Prabhupada writes here, a devotee must carry out the order of the Lord. Yare dekhe tarakah Krishna upadesh. Every devotee therefore should spread Krishna consciousness by preaching, asking whomever he meets to accept the order of the Lord. Everyone should be induced to accept order of the Supreme Emperor, for this is a victory, digvijaya, and it is the duty of the soldier, the devotee, to impress upon everyone the philosophy of life. So like that, one has to take a responsibility in the preaching mission. Kanishta adhikaris do not preach. So, but the Lord shows mercy to them also, as he did by staying personally in Ayodhya to give audience to the people in general. One should not mistakenly think that Lord asked brothers to leave Ayodhya because he especially favored the citizens. One should not think that, oh, Ram is partial, he is giving more association to the citizens, not to the brothers. That also is not the point. The Lord is merciful to everyone and he knows how to show favor to each individual person according to his capacity. One who abides by the order of the Lord is a pure devotee. Simple. Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying that Lord is actually favorable to everyone depending on the particular situation in which the devotee is in. 26th verse. Asikta margam gandhodaihi karinam madasikaraihi swaminam praptamalokya mattam vasutaramivam.
During the region of Lord Ramchandra, the street of the capital Ayodhya were sprinkled with perfumed water and drops of perfumed liquor thrown about by elephant from their trunks. When the citizens saw the Lord personally supervising the affairs of the city in such opulence, they appreciated this opulence very much.
So in this purport, Prabhupada writes, one example of the opulence of Lord's kingdom is this.
There was no need of sprinkling machines. Elephants will do the job. No, sprinkling machines will replace the elephants. But you need to have the capacity to maintain an elephant. That's another point. They had their capacity. To see the Lord personally supervising the affairs of the state was very happy for the citizens. He's not a sleeping monarch. Right? Next verse, 27th verse.
Prasada Gopura Sabham Chaitya Deva Grihadishu Vinyasta Hema Kalashaihi Patakabhircha Manditam.
The palaces gates, the assembly houses, the platforms for meeting places, the temples and all such places were decorated with golden water pots and bedecked with various type of flags.
So rest all is the description of the city and the welcome gates, etc. You can read the translations.
Wherever Lord Ramchandra visited, auspicious welcome gates were constructed with banana tree and betel nut tree full of flower and fruits. The gates were decorated with various flags made of colorful cloth and with tapestries, mirrors and garlands. Wherever Lord Ramchandra visited, the people approached him with paraphernalia of worship and begged the Lord's blessing. O Lord, they said, as you rescued the earth from the bottom of the sea in your incarnation as boar, may you now maintain it, thus we beg your blessings. Thereafter, not having seen the Lord for a long time, the citizen, both men and women, being very eager to see him, left their homes and got up on the roofs of the palaces. Being incompletely satiated with seeing the face of the lotus-eyed Lord Ramchandra, they showered flowers upon him.
So they are not completely satiated. Aravinda lochanam. Aruhya harmyani aravinda lochanam. Ram is also called Rajiva lochana. Right. So he would just fall asleep as soon as moon rises. He's a Sun Dynasty man, right? So he would fall asleep. Then Dasharatha said, "Hey, my son will sleep in the night. He cannot stay awake. And your Rakshasas will become more active in the night. So how can he protect your Yajna?" So he was giving this argument to Vishwamitra. But you know only him as Rajiva Lochana or Aravinda Lochana. But I know what he is. Then Vasishtha also tells him. Then Dasharatha agrees to send Ram. So all these devotees at Ayodhya, they were very eager for Ram Darshan. Tataha praja vikshya patim chiragatam didrukshayasyot srishta grahaha striyo naraha. Even men and women, they are going to the palaces and then starting to observe Lord Ram. Even when Krishna is also, when he is walking in Dvaraka, Shriyo Nivaso Yeshyoraha Panapatram Mukham Drisham. Before that verse, another verse comes. Nityam Nirikshamananam Yadapi Dvarakokasam Navitrupyanti Hidrishah Shriyo Dhamanga Muchutam. Lord's bodily limbs are the abode of all beauties. So how can anyone be satiated by seeing the Lord's limbs? Next, Prabhu. 31.
Thereafter, Lord Ramchandra entered the palace of his forefathers. Within the palace were various treasures and valuable wardrobes. The sitting places on the two sides of the entrance door were made of coral. The yards were surrounded by pillars of Vaidure Mani. The floors was made of highly polished Murkut Mani. And the foundation was made of marble. The entire palace was decorated with flags and garlands and bedecked with valuable stones shining with celestial effulgence. The palace was fully decorated with pearls and surrounded by lamps and incense. The men and women within the palace all resembled demigods and were decorated with various ornaments which seemed beautiful because of being placed on their bodies.
Tasmin sabhagavan ramaham snigdhaya priyayeshyata yeshtaya Reme Swaramadhiranam Rishabha Sita Yakilam.
Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chief of the best learned scholars, resided in that palace with his pleasure potency, Mother Sita, and enjoyed complete peace.
Next.
Without transgressing the religious principles, Lord Ram Chandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by devotees in meditation, enjoyed with all the paraphernalia of transcendental pleasures for as long as needed.
Okay. So that's how we complete Ramchandra's pastimes. The next chapter describes the dynasty of Kusha. These are just the names of people in that dynasty. You can read the translations, Prabhu. 12th chapter.
Sukadeva Goswami said, the son of Ramchandra was Kusha. The son of Kusha was Atithi. The son of Atithi was Nishada. And the son of Nishada was Nabha. The son of Nabha was Pundarika. And from Pundarika came a son named Shemadhanva. The son of Shemadhanva was Devanika. Devanika's son was Aniha. Aniha's son was Priyatra, Pariyatra. And Pariyatra's son was Balasthala. The son of Balasthala was Vajranava, who was said to have been born from the effulgence of the sun god. The son of Vajranava was Sagana, and his son was Vidhriti. The son of Vidhriti was Hiranyanabha, who became a disciple of Jaimini and became a great acharya of mystic yoga. It is from Hiranyanabha that the great saint Yajnavalkya learned the highly elevated system of mystic yoga known as Adhyatma Yoga, which can loosen the knots of material attachment in the heart. The son of Hiranyanabha was Pushpa, and the son of Pushpa was Dhruvasandhi. The son of Dhruvasandhi was Sudarshana, whose son was Agnivarna. The son of Agnivarna was named Sighra, and his son was Maru. Having achieved perfection in the power of mystic yoga, Maru still lives in a place known as Kalapagrama. At the end of Kaliyuga, he will revive the lost Surya dynasty by begetting a son. From Maru was born a son named Prasushruta. From Prasushruta came Sandhi. From Sandhi came Amarshana. And from Amarshana a son named Mahaswan. From Mahaswan, Vishwabahu took his birth. From Vishwabahu came a son named Prasenajit. From Prasenajit came Takshaka, and from Takshaka came Bhradbala, who was killed in a fight by your father. All these kings in the dynasty of Ikshvaku has passed away. Now please listen as I describe the kings who will be born in the future. From Bhradbala will come Bhradrana. The son of Bhradrana will be Urukriya, who will have a son named Vachravritha. Vatsavritha will have a son named Prativyoma, and Prativyoma will have a son named Bhanu, from whom Divaka, a great commander of soldiers, will take birth. Thereafter, from Divaka will come a son named Sahadeva, and from Sahadeva a great hero named Brihadashva. From Brihadashva will come Bhanuman, and from Bhanuman will come Pratikashva. The son of Pratikashva will be Supratika. Thereafter, from Supratika will come Marudeva. From Marudeva, Sunakshatra. From Sunakshatra, Pushkara. And from Pushkara, Antariksha. The son of Antariksha will be Sutapa. And his son will be Amitrajit. From Amitrajit will come a son named Brihadraja. From Brihadraja will come Barhi, and from Barhi will come Kritanjaya. The son of Kritanjaya will be known as Rananjaya, and from him will come a son named Sanjaya. From Sanjaya will come Shakya, and from Shakya will come Suddhodha, and from Suddhodha will come Langala. From Langala will come Prasenajit, and from Prasenajit Shudraka. From Shudraka will come Ranaka, from Ranaka will come Suratha, and from Suratha will come Sumitra, ending the dynasty. This is the description of the dynasty of Bhradbala. The last king in the dynasty of Ikshvaku will be Sumitra. After Sumitra, there will be no more sons in the dynasty of Sun God, and thus the dynasty will end.
Hari Bol. Yathra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.